No!
No! No!
What?
Because I was married for 2 fucking years!
You're a cunt, Ryan.
Fuck you, Carmen.
You're a cunt, Ryan.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
Fuck you, Carmen.
You're a cunt, Ryan.
No, sir, I don't like it.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's episode 67 of No Sir, I Don't Like It. Carmen Morales here. Brian Vokey with me, as
Hello.
Always.
Hello. How are you, everybody?
We got a guest today, Mr. Dave Waite. Hi, buddy.
You couldn't hold out until episode 69 for me?
Oh, I should have. I had no idea. That would have been so appropriate. You're a very 69 guy.
Are you?
I like my mouth in the business while somebody's mouth is on my business.
Is that your favorite?
What, 69?
Yeah, it just seems like a lot of work. Oh, I mean, I know it's a lot of work.
I mean, it's like impossible to come 69 in, but
sure, which is why it's great.
It's just edging, basically.
It's an ab workout.
Yeah,
yeah, sure.
Yeah, nobody's get, you know, everybody, yeah, but you know,
it's like a goofy thing. Like, look how fun we are.
It's ornamental, is what it is. It's ornamental.
Is that what it is?
It's the Christmas tree.
I mean, it's a good thing to like sext, you know, like let's 69, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a good thing to happen in your head, but it's less practical. Yeah.
I mean, I think
Are you a big sexter?
Huh?
Are
yeah. No, yes.
No,
whatever.
Yes.
Whatever.
Sure.
Sure.
What's the worst thing that's ever happened to you while you were 69 in?
What? Nothing.
Wait,
nothing? Nothing bad.
What kind of question is that?
That, I feel like somebody's projecting there. That's when a bro projects on another bro. That's projecting. I have a strong brocabulary.
Okay.
What is
Who is projecting, Carmen or me?
Yeah, she was. She's okay. Like, has anything bad happened while you were 69ing? Wink, wink.
Yeah. No, I've never had anything bad happen during it. It was just never my favorite. It was always like a thing to lead up to something else.
Well, sure, yeah. Nobody closes with the 69.
Right?
Can't close on a 69.
Yeah, so it's just so it's like a solid feature act, or maybe like a really good host as far as sexual.
Well, a real
go.
Good host is just getting a blowjob.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Guys, we have our promo code. If you guys go to Brondell.com and get all of your butt cleaning needs, they got attachments, they got bidet seat covers. If you go there and put in the promo code no sir when you check out, you get 20% off.
That might have been
your
a little confusing
order.
Of what Carmen was saying, that we've been sponsored by a bidet company.
Yeah, we have,
and we have a promo code. You started with all the information on what to do, and then told them what it was after. I gotta say this.
That's the equivalent of like the sponsor equivalent of like when somebody's bringing you up on stage. They're like, yeah. This person's been in this and this and this.
Or when you say
and his name is, or their name, you say their name. Next coming to the stage is Dave Waite. He's been on this and this and then, and people are like, so do we clap or we don't clap?
Or you say or? Make it loud and then say their credit.
Yeah,
after. Guys, make it loud.
Give You've it seen up this guy. They're just telling your credits while people are applauding. Oh yeah, we're sponsored by the very. A very rad bidet company called Brondell.
They have a travel bidet, which I'm going to get myself. It's like $35 because when they gave us that bidet, I got addicted to it right away. And I was just out of town this weekend. It was my first time shitting without the bidet since we got it. And I feel dirty.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Man.
I took like 9 showers a day.
You just started shitting between shits?
Yeah.
I know. I used to think my day was like crazy when I was growing up because every time you took a shower... Mm-hmm. You know, he took a shit, he'd take a shower, and I was
But
sometimes he'd shit like 3 times in a day.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, the old man has really lost it.
Yeah.
I'm surprised nobody started a company called Bro Day yet, and it's like
that's
just,
for you right there.
Bro Day.
What is it?
Bro
it
day.
Sprays Axe body spray right into your asshole.
Yeah, I'm into it. It'll really spice up that 69.
What is that, Alpine?
That has to burn, right?
For sure.
Yeah, it's got to burn.
For sure.
You ever put Axe body spray in your ass?
No.
Just wondering.
You ever use a bidet?
No, I mean, no.
Really?
Yeah, I know you were telling me to take a dump here, but I don't. I try not to take the show on the road, you know?
Right, no,
yeah,
I get it. Understand. There's a lot of people that don't like to shit when they travel.
Especially
I understand.
At this place, because it's like right there.
Because, yeah, it's small. It's tight quarters. Tight quarters. We would We would leave. Give the man some privacy. Just, it is Father's Day.
Live tweet it. Yeah, I don't know. Go on Brondell, get a bidet. Use the promo code. It's fantastic.
No, sir. You get 20% off. And your butt will thank us.
The last ad for us is, please, if you're going to shop on Amazon.
Oh, that's right.
Please go, until we get a No Sir, I Don't Like It website, because we don't really want to pay for that right now. Just go to brianvokey.com, BRYANVOKEY, and at the top, there's an Amazon banner there. Click on it, and then just shop normal. It doesn't do anything to your prices, but we get some commission off of
it. Yeah,
we
get a little kickback on the back end, which would be nice.
We get a little extra change from Amazon. It doesn't change anything for you. All you got to do is go to the website, click on the Amazon banner, and then do it. It redirects you to Amazon, and nothing is different, and the prices are exactly the same. We just get a little money.
Yeah.
That's all. It doesn't even sound real.
I know, but it is.
It's 100% real.
Dave, the premise of this podcast is we talk about stuff you don't like. What don't you like?
Well, I don't like shitting in public.
Just public bathrooms or any place other than your own throne?
Not public bathrooms.
Does your stomach shut down? Like, you can, is it hard for you to?
No, I mean, you know, sometimes I gotta go.
You get like stage.
But I'm not like a guy. You know, there's some comedians I gotta take a dump right before they
perform. Go,
and I'm like, never. I've tried to never poop in a comedy club. That just seems like a nightmare.
Especially if like somebody from the audience is there, and then they see your shoes, and then it's like, then they see your and then they see you on stage. I don't know. They probably don't even care because normally people don't give a shit, but. I still have that fear of like somebody in the stall next to me recognizing my chucks and then being on stage and like, that was the girl that just shit.
Yeah, but like, you know how, I didn't mean to cut you off, Brian.
It's not you today.
People go to a comedy club sometimes like once in their whole life, you know? So like that could stay with them forever. Like, like just say you're like, you're dying in there and you're really putting up a stank and then you walk out and then they see you and then you go up on stage and be like, oh, the comedian, he shit real bad, and then he bombed on stage. I wonder, he must have been sick.
And he then dropped a bomb and then bombed.
And then that's the story that guy will tell for the rest of his life, and then maybe one day, like, he retires. He's like, I'm going to be an Uber driver after, like, whatever,
right.
His other career. And he's like, I just want to get out there and talk to people. And then he picks up a comedian at the airport and was like, oh, I met a comedian once. Well, I didn't meet him, but I smelled him. He took him. And then, like, that's, like, the story.
He sees your Conan set. He's like, I smelled that guy's ass.
That's so bad.
Because I remember I was in like Tulsa one time, and it was like when they first got Uber.
Yeah,
I was there. So the whole month they were giving away free rides.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. And I was at a comedy condo, so I was just taking it everywhere. Yeah. I was like, this is like freedom, you know?
Yeah.
And a guy asked me what I did, and I was like, I'm a comedian. And he goes, I met Stephen Wright in the 80s, and then I went out and we were picking up chicks, and, you know, but the story stayed with him forever. And then I told him I told him my name and everything, and I told him I was performing at the club, and then he dropped me off, and then like maybe 2 hours later, he picked me up, and then it was the same guy who picked me up.
And there was one Uber driver in all of Tulsa. Well, that makes sense.
And then... He goes, I watched some of your stuff. I go, oh, yeah. He goes, yeah. I was like, whatever, man. Fuck
yeah.
It. That's why people don't say they're comedians. But I do. I try not to. I usually just tell people. I know it's like.
I don't. My dad would always, whenever anybody would ask us why we were in town, if we were in a hotel or something, he would make up a new reason. He would always say things like, I'm a baseball scout for the Red Sox. I'm checking out a local.
Was your dad a comedian?
Nope, he was a postal employee.
Oh.
But I'm just saying. I was raised to just never tell people my business. Even for no reason.
I was raised to duck from the cops. I think like this is really resonating with why we are the way we are as adults.
Yeah, he would just always be lying to people. Yeah, I got to check out this pitcher in the local high school.
So I mean, sometimes.
Do you do that when people say, "Well, tell me a joke"? Do you do the joke?
No, I don't tell them a joke or any of that stuff. But I don't. So Sometimes I try not to tell people, but then I'm always like, whatever other thing I say is going to... I ain't going to have all the follow-up questions.
Really? You just make a fun little world for a moment.
Yeah, but I it'll fall apart.
You're not a good liar?
No, I mean, I'm good at riffing and all that sort of stuff. I'm real good at that, but just making up lies about myself, I'm not the best at. Mm-hmm. And also...
So dating's hard for you is what you're saying?
No. but I feel like I can usually shut them down. I usually break people... I think it's more fun to break their heart. They tell you, you ask if you're a comedian, and then you just don't tell them a joke, and then you're kind of...
Say quiet and
quiet, yeah. And then they'll be like, "He didn't seem that funny," you know. Yeah, and then you're like, "You won. You still won.
You still won." This weekend I was doing a show, and I addressed the fact that people think I look like a fat Tony Hawk, and then I said that on stage, and then I walked into a bar across from the show.
Tony
and
Hawk.
The entire bar erupted with "Fat Tony Hawk," and
oh,
I was
God.
Like, "We gotta go."
I am not drinking here.
I don't want to be here at all.
Where are we at?
Madison,
Wisconsin.
Yeah,
that's fun. That's a great comedy club.
Yeah, it was really fun. Those guys actually ended up being really cool. All those people who yelled the "Fat Tony Hawk" shit—they were just like townies.
Yeah.
And I was a townie in Athens, Georgia. I love college town townies.
Yeah.
I just get them.
I totally understand.
It's my kind of people.
I knew it was because it's the summer, man. So I knew it was going to be mostly townies. Yeah. They're going to be fun.
I love townies. Where are you from?
I'm from northern Kentucky, right outside of Cincinnati.
Oh, okay.
What's the worst place you've done?
Comedy?
Yeah.
It's Toledo, Ohio is always the worst.
Really? I've had great shows in Toledo, Ohio.
Well, maybe that's saying something about your act. How about that?
Have you just always eaten it there?
Yeah. It was so funny. I was hanging out with Shane Moss the other night, and we were at Bar Lubitsch. It's a Russian bar in West Hollywood, he had performed, and there was some ladies outside, and they were chatting, and somehow somebody mentioned that we were from the Midwest, and then she goes, "I'm from Toledo," and Shane, before I even said it, he goes, "That's the worst place to do comedy in America."
Yeah. Which club did you do in Toledo?
I did Connections a couple times. I did the Funny Bone a couple times. Always eating it. The people are dirt people.
Just a nightmare?
It's a nightmare place.
I've never been to
Toledo. It was always work. That is true. It was always work, but I'd still like... It was like prying teeth, but I'd still try real hard. God. Just because I was like... It seemed like they needed to laugh the most, you know? I felt bad.
They don't deserve it. They could have left.
Yeah, this hostility comes from also being from... growing up with these people, too, right?
Well, I grew up in the Cincinnati area. Yeah. It's they're different people than...
They are. Because
that's like the northern part of the state, and Cincinnati's the southern part of the state. It's also like the people, they just didn't leave Toledo. I mean, they should have left at some point.
Right.
So everybody that's left is like a fucking, has no imagination.
There's
plenty of other places that are better to live on this earth, and they stay.
In that state.
Yeah, you could go to
Cleveland. You could go to Columbus, Cincinnati. Yeah. There's plenty of places in Ohio to go.
But you decided to stay in Toledo.
Especially because Ohio in general always gets so much shit. Ohio gets so much shit for some reason. I don't know if it's because they set a lake on fire or river on fire or whatever. But
that was, Cleveland. But
Ohio always gets so much shit. And then to be the worst place in Ohio, that's got to be rough.
I mean, like, Canton's probably like the worst place, but I've never really been there. Like, that's like a real, like, or Youngstown, that's like populated by gangsters and stuff. It's like still a mob hold out there. Yeah, Dayton, Ohio. I mean, I've had good shows in Dayton. But you know, it's still like it's pretty beat up, Dayton, Ohio. But yeah, Toledo is just, they're fucking a bunch of dopes. That's not the first time I've told people, but like I did some of that LOL taping for Montreal last year, like the Chris Kevin whatever.
Kevin Hart.
Whatever. Kevin Hart.
Yes. Kevin Hartwick.
Kevin Hartwick. Yeah. And Tony Rock was interviewing me. He's like, where's the worst place you ever performed? I go, Toledo. It's the fucking worst. And he started laughing. And he was like, yeah, they're pretty bad.
Wow. I got to get over there.
I know.
I just did Off-Broadway, and it was awesome.
Lexington. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Lexington, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done that club a bunch because I was like 75 minutes away from Cincinnati. I mean, sometimes there'd be like, usually when I'd work there, it'd be like one show where I'd still straight up eat it. But, you know, who were you there with?
Preacher Lawson.
You're also going up against like people who probably came out to see him and paid money. And, right?
Yeah, they're fanatical.
Because I would do like weeks there where it was like whoever was. You know, somebody wasn't a thing.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, so when somebody's not a thing and you're like, really got to prove yourself so much more.
Right. For sure. Yeah. I'm done proving myself.
Yeah.
I'd just rather either die or succeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that whole, the audience that got in free or the audience that came and doesn't want to have fun, or I'm like, why?
Where they're watching with their arms crossed, like the whole fucking make me laugh mentality.
Yeah, why are you here? You could have went and did anything else.
Literally anything else.
You could have done anything else.
Mm-hmm. And you got in for free.
And
you got in for free.
I don't think people would be such dicks if they got into a movie for free. They'd feel like, oh, cool, we got into a movie for free.
Anytime I've gotten to see a movie for free, I probably give it a better score in my mind.
Yeah, I think free food tastes better.
Oh, yeah.
But the general public isn't like that, which is, I think papered rooms in comedy clubs is one of the best arguments against communism. And social, like free social programs. Because it's just like nobody fucking appreciates a thing that's free.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I think
if you spend a nickel, I guess you care about it more.
Yeah. I think they associate it with quality because it's an entertainment. Like, I think it's because so many rooms throughout the country have been papered. And because people get into open mics for free, I feel like if they're not paying to see something, then it's probably the worst kind.
Then don't come.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's also like by the time you're doing the papered room, it's been going on for a long time. So the only people left are going are like, just the fucking dopes.
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we'll go do this again. Right.
The dopes.
Yeah. And they have one comedian they like, and if you're not like that, then they hate you.
But it's also where the comedy clubs are located geographically. Mm-hmm. Like, they're in a fucking mall away from all the cool people.
Yeah, at the edge of the forest.
Yeah. It's like all the fucking people that didn't have any imagination. Hey, we're going to go to the mall for a good time.
Yeah.
So you're there and you're like, hey, I wrote some jokes that are original to my point of view. There's no big words in them, I promise you. And, but they are a little bit different than, you know, every other joke you probably heard. And,
right.
But which you probably want, free ticket person. You want the most basic dumb thing. You want the fucking dumbest shit.
Yep.
You go up there in a fucking raging cage and talks about beating his kids for fucking. And that guy's a great guy, but who gives a shit? He doesn't. Is he going to listen to this podcast? He lives a nice life.
Yeah.
But, you know, he'll go up there and be like, you got to beat your fucking kids. Yeah, yeah. And he does that accent. And then, you know, everybody's loving it. And I'm like, that's a great message to send, raging, to tell people to beat their kids. And the audience is clapping. They love it. They can't wait to go home and beat their fucking kids.
If they could, they would beat their kids while they were listening to him tell them.
I mean, that sweet Cajun accent. You got to beat your fucking kids. And he's destroying. Like, I don't know why. I should just toss my notebook into the ocean or something.
Oh, fuck, dude. I can't. That's basically like going after a professional wrestler. Like, that's like the level of mic work.
Was that too harsh to throw it? Whatever.
No, not at all.
Oh, no.
We're much meaner than that. Yeah. Don't worry.
You should have heard some of the things we've said on here.
One of my other pet peeves is if you take off your shirt and your, because I like Bert Kreischer. I think
sure.
I don't mind that he takes his shirt off. I feel like the party's starting.
There's something sincere about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like an honest shirt removal.
He's like, I'm fat, I'm sweating, deal with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's genuinely a happy, like, shirtless guy.
But underwear acts, I could take, they could get, there's so many underwear acts, you know? You know,
yeah, I've featured for a lot of them.
They take their pants off and their shirt and they're dancing around in their underwear or something. Wow.
And they're always wearing like a thong, and it's always like the idea of a shitty stripper. It's always like some pasty, yeah, yeah, chubby dude or a really big, yep, black dude, and they're always just in a thong, and it's so hilarious.
And you really get crushing. You get your real free tickets worth out of that.
Yeah. Hey, bring back the fat guy in the thong. I don't like you challenging my preconceived notions.
It's the clothing, the apparel equivalent of fucking a stool is what it is.
Right. Oh, my God. Underwear.
The worst one of those, I think, was Brad Brake. Did you ever work with Brad Brake? He's a comic from the Pacific Northwest.
No.
I featured for him in a comedy club that was in the basement of a strip club. It was every show.
I would say it's a comedy. The strip club was in the attic.
It was.
It was a comedy club with a strip club in the attic.
I wish you had to go upstairs for it. I wish you had. I wish there was a layer in between to separate them a little bit more, just so I didn't have to walk past the strippers to get to work. But he was like an alcoholic that was like off and on the wagon. And then I ended up I don't know why it's like a universal accepted thing in comedy that the feature just becomes the babysitter of the handful that is a headliner. Did you ever have that?
I mean, I've probably been a handful for people.
That's not true. I featured for you before years ago, and it was still, you were fine. You handled your shit.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was a good week. We had a good time.
We did. But it wasn't like this was, he was a mess. Like, he couldn't.
He's an underwear guy?
He was an underwear guy, you know? And then he was like, he didn't understand why the clubs weren't having him back anymore, but he would get hammered and be a dick to the staff and, like, you know, be just a fucking mess. And they didn't want to deal with that. And then they're like, and he was like, oh, yeah, put in a word for me after he made me drive him like 25 miles out of the way from where I was going, didn't give me gas money. Was like making me, trying to get me to buy him food all weekend and stuff like that. And just was at one point crying in the hotel room over his girlfriend and all this. And yeah, dude. And mind you, I've only been featuring for like 2 years at this point. And I'm like, is this how it's supposed to be? Like,
it's real $500 worth of.
Not even. I wish I was getting 500. It would have taken the sting out. It was like 270.
See, and you wouldn't do that now, and there's no point in my life where I would be like, I would fight that guy. I would put my hand in his face.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put up with that shit now, you know.
No.
Well, no, not now, but I didn't know any better then. When you first start out, you're just like, oh, is this part of the job description?
You're like too deferential, you know, when you first start out.
Right, yeah, yeah. I guess that's a great thing about being 27 when I started. Yeah,
when you started,
I had already had those experiences with humans.
Yeah.
So, like, even though I was like new at comedy, I wasn't new at life.
Right.
Yeah. I was like 23 and a half. Yeah. Like, oh, I'm supposed to be learning from this guy. Is this how you do it?
Like, yeah, go fuck yourself. I have my feet hurt. I'm not going to fucking do it.
Do you have
anything.
Any nightmare stories of people you work with like that?
No, I don't know. I don't really think about it. I try to forget it.
Yeah. You just block it out like a bad childhood.
I've worked with like one underwear act once, mm-hmm, and Michael Mack, you know him? You probably do, right?
Wait, he the one with does the big puppet thing at the end?
Yeah, he's from.
He gets in the underwear too?
Yeah.
Puppets and underwear?
Yeah.
He has I didn't know that
he
part.
He has like an underwear snake thing that comes out. Oh my he does God. Like Howard Stern. He's from like Florida.
People really hate writing. They really do.
He does like a bunch of parody songs. And he's like a sweet fella, I guess. And, you know, but
I never saw the underwear thing. I only saw the big. He does a big. It's like a 15-minute closer of like puppets. And it's all these puppets he has rigged up to do Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
And the audience literally just sits through a very mediocre 30 to get to this very huge spectacle of a closer that is the puppet thing at the end.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I mean, the snake thing, that must have been him writing.
Well, yeah, well, like, I think the snake thing was at the very end, but like, the snake popped out of the thing, and then I think it was like still sing, like did that or something. I don't know. I didn't watch.
Well, it was a snake puppet that came. It was an addition then, because he has all the things, and then
it was attack.
Snake, yeah.
It was attack.
The crotch snake was a button on the Bohemian Rhapsody finale.
But yeah, it was at Comedy Off Broadway in Lexington, and my sister was going to college there at the time, so I was able to like every night be like, oh, I'm gonna go hang out with my sister. Like I was able to just dip and like or hang out, you know. I was
That's
just like
nice.
Instead of like kicking it,
out.
And then one night I was like in front of the hotel smoking, and he pulled up and he goes, "Hey, you want to go get a beer?" And I'm like, "Ah." He goes, "Oh, I'll buy you a beer." And I'm like, "All right."
Not hard to buy your heart.
And then we go have drinks, and he's like, you know, all these comedians, it's like they want to be like, who's a hack and who's not a hack? And it's like, we shouldn't be worrying about that stuff. We should really be worried about the club owners fucking us over. But I was like, yeah, I mean, true. The club owners fuck us over. But, you know, when somebody goes, does a bunch of hacky bullshit, it makes me much harder for me to go to my act.
Yeah.
I mean, I was opening for him. I wouldn't have been able to. I mean, that's the one thing. I could never follow him in a million years. It's like impossible to follow. I mean, if he did that at like some alt room in LA, but there's like 10 of those places in the country.
Right.
Anywhere else, the guy's going to smoke me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the worst thing when I do like the road now, like headlining, and then I'm like, I see somebody creeping around with a guitar and they're about to go for me. I'm like, oh fuck. What the fuck am I gonna do?
After the guitar act.
Yeah. It's like at least, I mean, I've gotten good enough, you know, maybe the first 5 minutes will chew it and then hopefully I can turn it in.
Yeah.
You just gotta get
I mean, once people get a taste of, you know, they get a taste of music and familiarity, and then you go up there and I'm like, yeah, right, I'm doing it. And do that, and they're like, I don't want that.
I'm a dad without kids. They're like, what?
Well, yeah, they are, you know, most. I perform like I already have my own audience, which I do not, but I perform that way.
Sure.
I perform
that. You give
them
the benefit of the doubt that they can jump on board.
That also that everything I'm doing on stage is for comedic purposes, and that I'm a persona and I'm being funny the whole time, you know, but sometimes they don't buy into that. They don't buy in the concept that I'm a comedian or whatever. And then it really just goes down to whether your jokes are well written enough. And my jokes are now, you know, I feel like they're well written enough that I can get by and
right.
grind through. And people be like, that was a good show. And I know it was not a good show, but but the audience will leave think it was fine.
Yeah.
Which is all that matters, really.
Sell a couple t-shirts and try not to kill yourself.
Is that what it says on the t-shirt?
Sell a couple t-shirts, try to not kill yourself.
With your face
at Dave Wake,
smiling.
Yeah.
Do you go out a lot right now? Are you like on the road a lot right now?
Not as much as I used to be.
Yeah. Trying to give LA a healthy...
Yeah, I'm trying to stay around LA more. There's not as many comedy clubs as there used to be, so it is more difficult now.
Yeah.
I mean, it is transitioning a lot more of the... One, do a show a night and then move on to the next city.
It's definitely when it's gone. Comedy is really following in the footsteps of how music has changed. Yeah. Like there used to be a ton of music venues, and then a lot of the music venues closed, so it's just like smaller bar shows. And that's kind of what's happened with comedy. There was a lot of comedy clubs.
Oh, I thought you were to say it was following music's pattern of
one-nighters.
One-nighters.
Yeah, well, that's what I was getting to. But then a lot of the clubs closed, which was all weekends, and now it's just single one-night bar shows as well.
Right.
You know, you could do a brewery tour and make way more money than you would have done working a weekend.
Yeah.
At a club. But I think it's because a lot of the clubs refuse to evolve. I'm certain you've seen that a lot of the like.
People, oh yeah, they still advertise in the newspapers and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Cold you got to get up and do that radio. Yeah. All right, sure.
Then he would ask the audience every single show, "Did you guys hear about us on the radio?" And nobody fucking claps.
You should send out telegrams to everybody while you're at it.
Carrier pigeons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just train a parrot.
Hmm.
Fly it into somebody's house. Show tonight, comedy on Broadway. I don't understand. How do they not see the world outside them changing?
I don't know.
Because they just do the same thing over and over again.
How do you could say that about everything, though, my man.
I know. You're 100%.
People of Toledo. Maybe when that first factory closed, maybe you should start thinking about going back to night school. You know what I mean? Maybe think about, you know. Don't buy that boat this summer. You know, hold off on the boat.
Yeah.
Maybe think about
buy property in a better location.
Maybe get an escape plan.
That isn't a boat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ohio's
people get set in their ways, and they're like, "This is the money train will never stop." And then one day, you know.
But the money train in their model has had to have stopped for like 25 years. They just live off of the like one weekend every 2 months that a celebrity comes by.
Yeah, but they can make a fortune those weekends.
Yeah, you're right.
Some comedy clubs.
So they just have no motivation to change.
Yeah, they're
like, that's your job. You're supposed to go get them.
Yeah, that's our job.
That's what's
that
so
is.
Nice
that about- is what shifted is like a lot of it. A lot of what their job was, which was to build a built-in audience.
Have a trust with the community, like Comedy on State.
Like Comedy on State in Madison, where instead now it's like, well, you're supposed to bring, like they're expecting people who are unknown to also be a draw, and as opposed to them making most of the money on the weekends when they have a draw, and then that carrying over to people who aren't super famous.
But also the motto of like, here's six shows, maybe isn't the best motto. I mean, maybe the motto of doing one show in a brewery is a better model than
I'm a fan of comedy and comedy environments.
I mean, I agree with you, but I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Well, it also doesn't.
You're to be like the comedy club. We're like, well, I think it is changing. I mean, you know, gotta adapt.
Yeah, no, I'll adapt. I'm just saying that, like. I just enjoy when the room was built for comedy. It doesn't mean that's all. I'm going to stick to my guns. I'll go wherever anybody has me. I'll do it in the parking lot outside the club. Give me the contact?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you go to Atlanta, you could do 9 breweries in a week, and they're all great.
Yeah.
Great shows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You still usually make less in a weekend than you would have at the club.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. You gotta do.
I mean, Dave Attell just did a brewery in Bakersfield. Dave Attell.
Yeah.
A brewery in Bakersfield.
He probably got good money, though.
He got great money.
How much he get?
He got 10.
10 grand?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course he's going to show up.
Yeah.
He only had to do one show.
Yeah. But it's just funny that...
Do you think Dave Attell would want to be in Bakersfield for 4 nights?
With him, I don't know if it matters where he is. It seems like it's all Dave Attell up in that head. It's miserable no matter where he is.
I was just going to say one of my pet peeves.
Yeah.
Is when comedians are like, well, I'm getting older. And then they do their fucking... I hate when...
The getting older jokes?
I don't care that you're going to do it. I have a bit like I'm turning into a dad, which is essentially I'm a...
Getting older.
Mm-hmm.
But I...
You figured out a way of saying it without the same way everybody else says it.
Yeah. When somebody goes, well, I'm getting older, they might as well be like, hey, I'm...
Breathing air.
I'm not being creative.
I'm not dead. It's the only other option. Getting older, I'm dead, and I'm talking, so clearly I'm getting older.
I'm Benjamin Button. I'm getting younger.
Especially like...
When they're 29?
Yeah. Anybody under 50 doing that? Yeah. You know, if they, there's like some kid up there like, I know I'm getting older.
Mm-hmm. My parents cut the checks. I say colonoscopy age. That's when you can.
Yeah.
Once you're getting a camera up your ass, you can.
It always takes me out of it when a comedian says that. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. I'm getting older. This is making me old. Turn it into a grub.
You're making me older.
I could tell I'm getting older. Why? You looked in the mirror? What?
I saw a picture of me when I was younger, and I was like, I do not resemble that anymore.
You were taught the concept of time? How did you figure this one out?
Yeah, I looked
at genius.
Oh, God.
What an observation to make. The most basic of all observations.
Well,
how about that? Just that setup alone. Well,
I like that.
It's way better than I'm getting older.
Well, I could tell these kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Generations different. I got it.
Yeah.
Past, present, future.
Millennials. I check out when I hear that word.
I did just write like a millennials joke, but it's on their side.
Sure.
But,
yeah.
But I mean, who knows? You know, it might be. But, you know, I was just talking about how they're like, people say millennials are killing everything.
Right.
Because my buddy, I asked him if he golfed, and I was like, you don't golf because you're a millennial. And I fell trapped to it. But then we Googled, are millennials killing golf? And the whole front page of Google, there was like 10 different articles. That was just the front page.
Oh, wow.
But I was like, my whole point was that millennials are killing things that deserve to die, like malls and all that sort of
right,
stuff.
Right.
But
yeah, it's like chain restaurants and
but
shit.
But I was like, don't kill Applebee's.
Dude, everybody loves Applebee's.
Yeah, don't kill Applebee's.
It's half price apps, baby.
Oh, yeah. Dude, every Veterans Day, I go there and get like pounds of food. Pounds of food for free. It's
great. I wish there was an Applebee's. It's like Applebee's is like, they just don't even fuck with L.A. or something. I don't see them around.
I wouldn't if I was Applebee's.
No, that's a suburb-only establishment.
Yeah, it's a shame.
It's like a downtown Charlotte kind of restaurant.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember like when I was in my early 20s, when like before everything got hip and cool, like going to Applebee's was like the place to go.
Yeah. Well, like, cool options, though.
Yeah, like everything. There was like a section of like Northern Kentucky, it was like called Main Strauss. It was in Covington, which is across from Cincinnati, which had like a row of bars, and it was like relatively safe. But like everything in downtown Cincinnati was like a war zone. It wasn't like a place that was fucking cool to go. And so there wasn't no like place. So people would be like, ah, we're going to Applebee's. Like my buddy worked at Applebee's on the river. They had a barge and they had Applebee's on it.
Wow. They had their own barge? That's crazy.
Well, it was so crazy. So it was like a barge, and at one point they had like a teen nightclub on there called City Lights, and then they had some. There'd always be other bullshit in there. The other bullshit wouldn't work, so it was always Fridays over on this side, and then Applebee's on the other side.
It was a Darden barge. It's just all Darden restaurants.
And my boy Pawn Shop Joe, which he works at a pawn shop now, but he didn't then.
Yeah.
Pawn Shop Joe worked at the Applebee's, and then we'd go down and get
was
fucked.
Was he Applebee's Joe back then?
Yeah. We'd go down and get fucked up for like $8 because he worked there, and the bartenders, and we'd just get fucking trashed at the Applebee's.
One of those Chili's or Applebee's is doing $1 Long Island iced tea for the month of June.
Yeah, it's probably,
one of those two.
They all keep switching back and forth, yeah.
Yeah.
There was one, I don't remember if it was an Applebee's or a TGI Fridays in Orlando. It was like one of the most touristy parts of Orlando, like on International Drive. They did that old school bar thing where you could like have your own bar stool where they had like, they had like a plaque.
Yeah.
But it was in the most commercial fucking bar of all time. Yeah. Like it's
the
in the most
regular.
Yeah. Who's going to the most touristy bar in of an entire city and being like, that's my seat? You know what I mean?
Tom Rhodes. Tom Rhodes has a stool in that Orlando TGI Fridays.
It's so crazy. Yeah, those bars that have dedicated.
But it's a fucking, it's a Fridays or an Apple. Like,
right.
That's the last place you would go, I would imagine. I just think of that thing of it being like a dive bar, like that's where Max sits. Don't sit there, you know, because he's been drinking here for 25 years. Who's been drinking at TGI Fridays for 25 years?
Somebody.
On a regular basis. Somebody.
For sure. That sounds like a family member of mine. For sure.
That's their watering hole.
Yeah.
I just really like Kent. He serves me he's been serving me for the last 9 years.
Have you watched that documentary about the band Big Star?
Oh yeah, Nothing Can Hurt Me.
But like, I guess the Fridays opened up. But like, were they Memphis?
Memphis, yeah.
So like, when a Fridays, that was like the place they went.
Yeah.
People like going to Fridays and doing coke. I mean, people are probably still doing a lot of coke on Fridays.
Yeah,
for sure
they are.
Yeah.
How else do you deal with that?
Like, if you're a drug addict and you're traveling, just go to any chain restaurant and try to become friends with somebody on the staff, and you'll be able to find whatever drugs you need.
Exactly.
Well, I feel like that's almost like most like restaurants in general. It's hard to meet a kitchen staff that doesn't have some sort of drug.
Oh yeah, I used to work, and there was a locker. We all had lockers, there was one locker that had a menu, and under the menu was a constant bag of coke.
Holy shit, really? It was just community coke?
Every now and then, the guy would be like, you want to chip in $5 or whatever, and you give him $5 or whatever. But not me, man. Those dudes, they all burned their hands so bad on that pizza oven because they were moving too fast and all that shit. I was like, I'm 30 and I'm working at a pizza restaurant. I don't need to be faster. They don't pay me enough to work that faster. Like, I'd rather be slow.
I worked at this comedy club, which was like a middle of nowhere comedy club. And by the end of the weekend, I had been given Xanax. I had been given methadone in pill form. Mm-hmm. I had been given, they were just trying to. They were trying to make me as gray as fucking they were. And yeah, I was like, right. Dude,
That's the thing. I refuse any job I have, like day job. I refuse to do anything that makes me work harder.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's worth it.
No, it's definitely not.
Yeah. Usually sometimes I'll save coffee until I get off of work.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I worked in an office, they'd come around like on Friday and be like, ooh, you guys... Boy, it'd really help the team if you came in tomorrow. And I'd always be like, yeah, I'm good. I'm 100% good. That's my off day. You have a good time with that. I didn't see no jerseys for this team. You know,
I'm not getting a sign.
Let me know how the team works out.
One day you're going to get fired too, buddy.
You know they don't care about you, right?
Right. You know that, right? There's somebody in a different office trying to figure out how to get rid of everybody's jobs. I remember trying to tell people that I was like, it's probably such a bummer to work in an office. People don't like the truth. But
no.
Not in that setting. Not in a corporate setting.
But I'd be outside smoking. I'm like, you know that somebody's trying to get rid of our jobs. And people are like,
why would they do that?
And I'm like, yes. No, sir.
That was a good one.
We all had to try the bidet real quick. get her buttholes clean.
Woo!
A little synchronized wiping.
Hey, it's got heated seats, heated water. It's nice. Blow dry. You can blow dry your butthole.
That's a little bit much.
No, it's just right.
All right. I guess I'm just afraid of the future.
Yeah, don't go to Japan. Every toilet is like that.
How much longer are we? How long we got?
We got like 20.
20 more minutes. All right. Just curious.
We could do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I never know. I never run the light ever. I mean, maybe once a year by accident, but that's about it.
Yeah.
I'm always like, I'm done.
You want to stick the landing.
I want to get off early.
Is that one of your favorite things when they're like, oh, we're late on the late show. Everybody cut everybody's time.
Yeah. I'm like, let's get out of here. I just think at a certain point, I'm like, oh, I'm kind of done talking. I'm like a dude. Well, I can't believe dudes. I can't believe any dude could get up there and talk that much. You know.
This weekend on the Friday Late Show, this lady came up to me and goes, "You need to tell Eric. You need to tell Eric Lampert that those seats are really uncomfortable." And he went a little too long, and my ass is killing me. And I was like, I'll be sure to tell him that as soon as he walks off stage. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll make sure that's the first thing I'll tell him. Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, way to help society, lady.
Why are they telling you? Why don't they tell
club? I know. It doesn't make any sense.
There's a comic comment card you can fill out. Go fill out a comment card.
What does the comic have anything to do with the seats?
I know. What do I have to do with how long Eric goes? Yeah. What do I have to do with any of it? Yeah. The thing I did before, that's it. That's all I was in charge of.
Yeah, that's it.
I don't like flakiness. It drives me crazy.
Oh,
I guess that's
the wrong
a pretty
town.
I know. It is the bad town for it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess if you say you're going to do something, fucking do it. You know, I guess, you know, it's tough when you're like, hey, you want to meet? And people are like, yeah. And then, like, like a half hour, an hour before, like, oh, I can't do it. And then you're like, oh, what the fuck? It just throws my whole day on a
little. Because then you plan for it. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that the number one excuse is I just got an audition and there's no audition ever. I don't think anybody's ever had an audition. Like, they just sleep. Sorry, just nailed an audition. Got to get a commercial audition. All right, so you're canceling.
Yeah, or you're canceling because you're tired or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, just say you're tired.
Like, yeah.
Or the non-return text message. That one that makes me really crazy.
You never did that with chicks? You never not responded?
I'm not talking about chicks. I'm talking about people that I'm friends with. And then I'm like, hey, I'm having people over. Blah, blah, blah. And I, you know, you can be like, can't make it. Maybe. Yes. Those are, you're going to. But,
any of those are acceptable, but the non-response.
Because then I don't know when to ever contact you again. There's like a part of me that's like, well, I guess we're not friends. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, man.
You know what I mean? Like, there's like when people don't respond to text messages, I'm like, because I don't want to seem too thirsty for our friendship, you know?
Right, right.
Yeah.
I mean, I have one buddy that he never responds, but. You know, then out of the blue, he'll hit me up. Whatever.
Do you have people that don't respond and then just show up?
Yeah, that's fine. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, whatever. Then you've.
It's too much, man. There's too many texts, though. I'm the guy who doesn't get back. Too many fucking texts.
I don't get too many. You know, I don't know. If I haven't heard from somebody in a while and I text them and I'm like, hey, man, how you doing, buddy? And then no response. Then I'm like, well, I guess they're dead. I don't know. What the fuck? Maybe they're dead.
You're like, I'm not even asking them for anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Every couple times a year, I tell myself I'm going to start responding to everybody in a timely fashion. Then I have 2 weeks of being good at it, and then I fall off.
Yeah. I mean, I try to respond to everybody.
I just hate the phone. I hate it. I hate it so much.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty addicted to it, so maybe that's the difference. But. Yeah, it's just, you know, and I've talked to some people, they say they get overwhelmed when they get a text message. So, like, you know, I mean, sure, but it is,
especially if you're making plans, it also sucks. But that's like a thing specifically to Los Angeles is where you'll have plans, they'll say yes, and then they flake. You don't get any information. You don't get any contact until afterwards. Does that make sense? Where it's 2 days later, where it was like, oh, sorry, I didn't make it. Where it's like, right.
Well, even that, I'll take. You know, I'll take the sorry I didn't make it because I'm like, well, at least it occurred to you that it was fucked up.
Yeah.
I was in such a fucking awful relationship for so long that I almost have like a Pavlovian response to the vibration from a text where I think
you're in trouble.
Yeah, I think something bad's going down. Every time, and sometimes I'll get a text and I just throw my phone across the room.
Get it away from me! Don't touch me! Don't touch me! What do you want? I know you want something.
Yeah, I know.
What do you want from me?
How long were you in that relationship for?
2.5
Too
years.
Too long.
That's a long time.
Yeah, and it was so bad the whole time.
Even at the beginning?
Yep.
Man, you must have been lonely.
Duh. That's why you make bad decisions like that. You're like, well, I guess this is better than just me. Or at least more interesting.
Turns out it isn't. Yeah, no, that was it was bad. It was real bad.
I'm just trying to be honest.
You have one like that?
What?
A relationship is bad like that?
That you dragged out?
Nah, I mean, they've all been...
You get out with the getting's good.
They've all been amazing, and I love it, all of them equally, and I wish them the best.
Wow. Are you on the stand right now? Whatever happened to that honesty you were just talking about?
How timely of you. You sound really of your time. This is why you'll do better than me.
Nah, I wish him all the best.
I should say continue to do better than me.
You can wish him all the best and still be like some of them sucked. Like, yeah,
I don't want anybody to get hurt or anything bad to happen to anybody. I would love to just never hear from certain people ever again, but I wish them, if they find happiness, they won't be like that anymore.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Yeah. I wish all the people in my life would find happiness.
Yeah, that's pretty positive.
Yeah, see? Yeah. You can still hate that relationship, though.
Yeah, yeah. That time in my life is the worst time since, you know.
Yeah. There's been some relationships that are more difficult than others, but, you know, whatever.
Sure.
There in the past. I try not
to. Are you running for office right now?
Are you in a relationship right now?
No.
No.
I try not to dwell on the past so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that weird?
Yeah, but you can still learn from it. Like, some of them didn't work where, you know, it's a mutual, like, you know what I mean? Where both of you are contributing in a negative way and then it just doesn't work out like that. And then sometimes it's just like, you really don't want to be in that relationship and you're kind of being a dick and that kind of makes it end. Or sometimes somebody else likes the other one more. And that, I mean, there's tons of different ways.
Yeah. There's
it doesn't have to be about that person specifically that fucks it up. It
doesn't have to be a grudge.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be like that.
Okay.
Well said. That Midwestern wisdom. Right
yeah, there. Right?
two syllables. It says it all.
All right.
Hence getting off stage early.
Where are you from?
I grew up half in Maine and half in Georgia.
You said Athens. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I spent some time in Athens.
You did?
Yeah, just hanging out. I dated a girl who lived in Atlanta, but her family was in Athens. So
and you wish her the best, and it was the best relationship you've ever been in.
No, well, I mean, we definitely had quite a few fights, but you know we're still friendly now, and you know, sweet lady.
So you hung out in Athens like with her family. So like, yeah, that's great. That's the best way to see that town. It's through town. I love college. I love townies and college towns. That's my favorite people.
Mm-hmm.
We already went through that.
But, Yeah, I had a good time there.
Yeah. I just went there. when were you down there?
Last fall.
Yeah, that was way long ago now.
Athens not a great comedy town.
That's no.
It's so hard. Every time I've tried to set up a show there, which is three times, it has always not worked out well.
It's a music city, you know? Last time I was in Asheville was the first time I ever had a great show in Asheville, North Carolina, because they did the Gray Eagle, which was a music venue, and it was like packed, and I was like, oh, wow, because it's such a great city, but
it really is.
But a lot of times the shows have sucked it because it's like such a music town.
Yeah, for sure.
And Nashville, I've had good times in Nashville, but never more than like 15 people at a show, you know. I mean,
did you ever do Zanies?
No, I never did Zanies. Mm. But
the whole town of Athens seems like the only thing they've ever known about comedy was Mitch Hedberg and the Comedians of Comedy,
right?
And like, so like you'll get like Patton or Zach Galifianakis. That shit will be huge there, but then nothing else works there.
Yeah, the 40 watt will be.
Yeah, the 40 watt. Yeah.
But yeah, everything else is like no.
Kurt Cobain signed the 40 watt wall, and then somebody sawed it out. And sold it on eBay.
Jesus.
I loved it. Everybody was so upset, but I'm just like, fuck tradition. Who cares? Fuck posterity. Just fucking make some money. Who cares?
And also be a pretty cool thing to have on your wall. Just a piece of a building.
Yeah, yeah.
Signed by a dead guy. Yeah.
Yeah, the 40 watt, man. I used to play in punk bands in Athens.
I think everybody played in a punk band in Athens, right?
For sure. For sure, that's how you get in. You're not allowed into the town unless you played in a punk band.
You have to, yeah, you pay rent in 7 inches.
What else don't you like, Dave?
What else don't I like? Mm-hmm. Oh, Republicans.
you were probably like fully immersed in that in where you're from, Kentucky, right? Or no?
I mean, I was surrounded by it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I didn't succumb to it.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
It is funny when like I'm in LA and I just hate hearing the same point of view over and over and over again, and it starts to make me question where my politics actually are. And then I go back home and I'm like, oh no, I hate them more.
Yeah. I'm right. They're just annoying.
Yeah,
I'm right.
I mean, that's the thing. You know, it's so far left out here, you're like, oh boy. But yeah, I think most people are really in the middle, you know. And I think the divisiveness is, I have a lot of Republican friends that I feel like they're not really Republicans, you know.
Sure, they don't know.
They don't really know that they're not, you know. I think
that,
because like a lot of stuff you would talk, if you can talk issue by issue, there you're like, they probably want some sensible gun laws or all sorts of stuff. And but then they bought the ticket for that team, and then that team kind of stinks. Yeah. And then, you know, so
well, they stink like the Patriots stink.
Yeah, I mean,
they're winning their asses off.
They're winning.
Nobody likes them.
They're winning, and they're cheating like the Patriots. Yeah. they've deflated a couple footballs.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And stealing the playbook. Yeah, yeah. So you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Do you really want to be a Patriots fan? You know? Like, I'm from Maine. I don't even like them. Like the Packers.
Tom Brady's one of them.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Robert Kraft. Come on. His name is Kraft.
Yeah.
He's crafty.
Yeah, and also he owns a poisonous food company. He literally is poisoning the whole country.
It's a lot to single out a whole group, but I feel like they need to relax.
Yeah, they just need to chill out.
They just move to the middle somewhat. They move way too far off the... See, it's easy... They do but a lot of the Republican people I know like are probably like more moderate, you know, and there's a lot, but I guess they point out, and that's what happens with like liberal people, is they point out like some crazy safe space sort of fucking nonsense or whatever. Not that safe spaces aren't whatever.
Sure, we get it.
You know, they'll point out some sort of thing,
like the fringe far left, like where it's so to the point where it's like. It's being not inclusive by trying to be so inclusive.
Right. Something they'll point out something like that, but it's like, but most people don't live that way or give a shit. You know?
Right.
Yeah, they're not going to Emerson College or whatever the fuck, or what's the really ridiculous one that's in the Pacific Northwest?
Oh, Evergreen.
Evergreen is what I was thinking of, yeah.
But I think, you know, on the other side, I'm like, it seems like a lot of those people, they've kind of... At least the politicians have taken up some real bad ideas. Yeah. You know?
You know, one thing I admire about them, though, and this is probably coming from a family that's broken some laws over the time, is that the right does not throw their own people under the bus.
No, they, yeah.
And the left will consume, because they can't hold any, you can't hold anybody on the right accountable because you need public support for that.
Yeah.
And if people on the right love their people on the right more than they won't.
They love being right
in the
right.
And the left has to destroy people, so they're just taking each other down like crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that's a more... there might be more responsibility to that.
Well, part of me likes that mafioso, we fucking look out for each other.
You know,
I feel like we'd win more if it was more like that.
Yeah, I mean, they shouldn't have thrown Al Franken under the bus. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
No.
And he was like a guy that fought and was fucking articulate and like had some fame behind him. And they're like, he's got to go. And I'm like, oh, fuck it.
I know.
They said they stuck with the guy that fucking tried to fuck kids.
I know.
And they were like, we don't give a fuck. Yep. And you're like,
Yeah, that's the thing is in the left,
they're
it's hard.
Loyal.
You don't have I don't give a fuck on the left. It's all about giving a fuck.
I know, that's why we're like, you know, that's why that, yeah, we're like, we give a fuck. That's the problem.
Sometimes it's giving too much of a fuck, though.
Yeah.
That's what it
well,
is.
Well, also, we give a fuck about the scandal and the outrage and maybe not so much the follow through.
Yeah, the outrage. I'm not a big fan of outrage.
Yeah.
I mean, I just wish they would just move to the middle.
I hope at some point, I mean, I get it, like when this is the first time things are being
that's the thing. I didn't mean to make it political, but the,
I don't know, it doesn't matter.
The one thing that if Trump had any goddamn sense, he's figured out some, I don't know, but he obviously wants people to love him because he's like a narcissistic.
Sure.
And the people on his side would love him no matter what. He could move to the middle on a lot of issues or take up.
And then you would have more people like him.
Yes. You know?
Right. Well, I think it's too late.
It's too late for that. But no, I'm just saying strategically.
But I think there'd be he could get over 50% or if he did.
Oh, if there's an election right now, I fully would put all my money on him winning.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think people are real. I think most people are enjoying it.
Oh, not me.
yeah. But I mean,
I don't like all the chaos. I just want, I don't want to ever think about the president.
Yeah.
you know? I want to go back to
for
not
sure.
caring.
I'm with you. I'm not saying I'm enjoying it, but yeah, I think
I want to go back to not caring, but, please.
Yeah.
People are dumb and they think when the economy is doing well, it's the president's fault their credit. And when the unemployment rate, I mean, all that stuff is working out right now. The stock market's up, the unemployment rate's down, the economy's good. So I think he would get reelected.
Yeah, maybe.
I really do.
Maybe.
He fixed, quote unquote, North Korea, you know? Like, I think most people are pretty happy.
I mean, he might be like,
we live in a weird place.
There might be like, there could be an argument to be made that he is like,
he's more moderate than people think besides immigration.
But he might be like the most American president. He's like, I ain't reading shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to yell at you.
Right. Yeah.
I want to be on TV. I don't know what's... I eat at McDonald's all the time. It's
He's so American that the right was able to forgive his blatant New Yorkerness.
Yeah.
Because the right's not a big fan of that blatant Northeastern attitude.
Those goddamn Yankees, man. Yeah. I've been hearing that shit forever.
I know. It's like... That's why, like, the hypocrisy on the right is like... That's what makes you throw your hands up. You're like, there's no consistency. You know, like the Russians were the bad guys forever. And then they're like, no, they're not. And we're going to be.
Yeah, we want to bring them back into the G8.
We're going to be the Korean. And you're like, what? Come on. They're like, you gotta love your wife. This guy's got 3 wives. It don't matter. Fuck it. And you're like, fuck it. Fuck your dumb rules.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, it's just like that with everybody. Anybody who picks a side is a hypocrite.
I guess so.
You're like vehement, if you're like really into your team.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, probably, yeah. But whatever, they're way blatant. They're way more bonkers.
We got to do the gripe of the week. We have
people submit gripes.
Their grape of the week. We pick the best.
You know, I'm getting older here. This is, might as well be the name of this podcast.
Getting older with Carmen and Brian.
You know what happened today? I hurt my back taking a nap. Can you believe it?
Oh, boy. You ever hurt yourself while you're sleeping?
Jeff Jones, friend of the podcast, says his grape of the week is people who turn their hazards on in the rain.
Oh, yeah.
I fucking hate that shit, too.
Well, it's dangerous.
It is, because hazards mean that you're supposed to be stopped. And if you're driving with them on, all you're telling everybody on a highway, especially if they're doing it on the highway, is that you're stopped on the fucking highway. But it's just because you're too much of a pussy to drive in the rain.
But some people go too fast in the rain. But I understand you shouldn't turn on your hazards, but you don't need to go so fast in the rain, Carmen.
That's true. I mean,
but you seem like you were like, I'm doing 80 and everybody else. Fuck. There's been times where I can't see. I'm always curious, like, when I can't see out of my windshield, yes. mm-hmm. and I'm like,
you keep going?
I'm like, yeah, I'm driving, you know, but like much slower.
But if you have and your then lights some, on.
And then somebody behind me is like, whoosh. And I'm like, what are you seeing that I'm not seeing? What do you have different windshield wipers? I'm like, I can't see anything. I if there was an accident around here, I would get off the highway yeah. immediately. So I don't die. And the other people are like, where yeah. why are you seem to be going faster than
right. Yeah.
Then even if it was sunny out.
But the thing is the hazards aren't going to make that person slow down.
Well the hazards are going to the thing that's so dangerous about it is it's going to get somebody else killed.
Yeah.
Because if you see a car moving with hazards on, then you see somebody's doing it right and they're stopped with their hazards on and you just think they're still moving like the other hazard idiots, mm-hmm. you just barrel into them
yeah.
cuz you're doing 90.
Just please slow down when it rains. Not when it like it's drizzling. I don't care.
You can't see in front of you. Yes. You're not supposed to be going. Yeah. You're not just supposed to hope there's nobody in
it's
front of you.
East Coast rain, thunderstorm yeah. stuff.
But I've seen like people, you know, just the... And I'm like, no, don't do that.
Just <Why?"> relax.
Anthony Tadaro, another friend of the podcast.
Oh, my high school friend.
High school friend. He said, MMA is the only sport I really care about in the UFC... Just signed a guy who was forced out of the NFL because he beat up his girlfriend. I'm worried that the sport I love is a safe haven for abusers.
Oh, yeah. Greg Hardy. Greg Hardy did more than beat up his girlfriend. He threw her on a pile of guns.
What?
Yeah. He beat her up and threw her on a pile of guns.
Jesus Christ. Who owns a pile of guns?
An all-star NFL linebacker.
Jesus Christ.
I didn't know that UFC. I thought he was Bellator. I didn't know that. Yeah, that's valid, Anthony. Greg Hardy's a monster.
Yeah.
War Machine also. What? He was the guy who beat up the porn star.
What sport is he?
UFC.
UFC.
Yeah, of course those guys are hitting. You want people? I don't know why people are surprised.
No, but it's when he did it before he got signed.
Oh yeah,
that's what he's complaining about.
He got kicked out of the NFL. He's not doing it in the NFL.
He's kicked out of the NFL.
Greg Hardy.
Yeah. That's how much.
Now he's in the UFC.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how much he was beating up his girlfriend. As the NFL was like, "All right, even this is a bit much."
You got to beat up your girlfriend too much in the NFL.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I think it was the body slam onto the pile of.
He might have been. He was probably. He might have been getting a little bit old for the NFL.
No, he was 26. He's still really good.
He was still good.
That's how bad he is, dude.
Damn.
That's surprising.
Yeah.
Jennifer Jarvis, her gripe of the week is people who think their big concerns should be yours. I'm over here living my life too, pumpkin. I guess like it's like not caring somebody else cares so
that's
much.
That's
a
healthy attitude. Don't absorb other people's fucking shit.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. People are always trying to sell you their problem. You know, you ever been around somebody?
Oh, yeah.
And then you leave and you're like, oh, yeah.
I feel heavier.
I'm so glad I left.
Yeah. This is the first time we've agreed with most of the
groups. I know.
Usually we just trash them and say they're stupid.
One of my pet peeves is gripes. Yeah.
I don't like not liking stuff. Heather Shaw is, I bought 4 apples today, and it was like $12 for 4 fucking apples.
That
that's
sounds
absurd.
Like that's your fault.
Yeah, you should check the price.
That's 100% your fault. Yeah.
You got some out-of-season organic apple at a farmer's market.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. Nobody cares.
Was that on an island? That seems like on an island where they don't have apples. Like if you bought apples in Jamaica.
Get a banana. What's wrong with you?
Friend of the podcast, Matthew Maloney, his gripe of the week is my dad never came to see me play football in middle school because he always had to work. He pulled strings so he could make time to see one game, but he had to leave 10 minutes after arriving on account of my younger brother setting our house on fire. He was trying to fry cut up tortillas to make chips for nachos. I don't know. Didn't know you're not supposed to use a cup of water on an oil fire. Fucking moron. Anyway, love you, Dad. Happy Father's Day. That's great. Jesus. That had to be the saddest gripe I think I've ever heard.
Dude, first time my dad saw me play football, I dropped 4 passes in the end zone.
I was
gonna let you down
4 times.
You still love me?
Not anymore. I did kind of the same thing, except it was in a golf tournament. I was crushing it. I was like in the top 10 and like the entire is like regionals or something like that. And then my dad showed up for like the last 2 holes and I fucking tanked it. I tanked the rest of the.
I picture your dad acting like Bill Murray in Caddyshack. Just kind of running around with a gun trying to shoot rodents.
I wish he was that whimsical. I wish he was that whimsical. He was just judging. Dave, tell people where to find you on the internet.
Well, you type in.
Oh wait, we got to pick. Who do you think had the best grape? Who do you think had the best grape?
Hazards, because it was the best conversation.
Yeah, that was the best guy. The other one, that last guy was just a sad fuck. I like how you said they're a friend of the podcast for all the people. Like, is there enemies of the podcast?
Probably.
Yeah.
There's probably people that hate us. Sure, why not?
Their gripe is the podcast.
Yeah. If there's people that like something, there's people that don't like something.
That's true.
You
can type in Dave Wait into Google. That should get you where you need to go.
How do you spell Wait?
W-A-I-T-E. My Instagram, that's the thing I've been trying to push, you know?
That's what I've been pushing, too.
Yeah. Instagram's the best one out of all.
You don't waste jokes.
Yeah, you don't waste jokes. It's less political.
Yep.
It's just, you know...
It's
babies.
Really nice. As all the social medias, it's the nicest one.
You just look at pictures.
It's babies, puppies, or titties.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes all three.
Depends on who you follow. Yeah. We know what you follow now. That's which is awesome.
Titty puppies.
Ooh, I love titty puppies. There's 6 of them.
I just
it's
see
delicious.
A Datsun with a push-up bra on. So it's just really at Dave Waite on all the assorted social media.
It's at Dave Waite Comedy.
At Dave Waite Comedy on all the assorted social media. Also go to his website, see where he's going to be performing. Jeff Jones, you got gripe of the week, baby. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thanks for coming on, Dave.
Well, I appreciate it.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
No, sir, I don't like it. No, sir, I don't like it.
What the fuck is the fucking matter? What are you stupid or what?
What is the fucking matter? What is the fucking matter? What is the fucking matter?
What is the fucking matter? What are you stupid or what?
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't want your life.
No, sir,